Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and Dave Allen is off today. We have Pastor Butch Paul filling in for him, and we're going to provide you with our opinions on economic and all kinds of good news out there for Tuesday, June 20th. 2023. Hi, Butch.
Hey, Melody. Welcome to the last day of spring. Tomorrow, summer starts.
How about that? Yes. About
time. It's the longest daylight day of the year, so enjoy it.
Today is or tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Yes.
Enjoy it. Then start getting shorter again.
I know.
I was talking to a friend in Texas. He's expecting to be 100, I think he said 100, and I don't want to exaggerate, 113, 130 degrees where he's at the next day or two. And I said, it's really amazing. We're on track to have the third coldest June in the record-keeping time here in West Virginia, but they're having record-breaking heat in Texas. It's amazing.
I think those 113 temperatures, I think those are the with the humidity factor in there with that, where it feels like 113. I don't know if that's the actual temperature.
That's depressing. That just puts you in the ground. I'd rather have it in the low, in the 60s or 70s any day than it would 113 or whatever it's going to be.
Oh, I lived in Arizona for 25 years. It's nothing.
It's a dry heat, though.
It's a dry heat, though.
Oh, you get down in Texas, it's humid. It's going to get nasty.
I know. And you know what? When I was in Florida, mid-August, no one wants to be in Florida in mid-August. Oh, my heavens. That humidity is just, I mean, you just walk outside and it just wipes. I mean, it just drains you of so much energy. But hot is hot, whether it's humidity hot or
Hot is hot. It makes you wonder how people handled it before air conditioning, doesn't it?
Well, no one lived in Arizona.
Or Florida, I guess. Okay.
Well, there's more people in Florida probably, but Arizona, I mean, compared to the population that they have now. And when I moved there in the early 70s, it certainly has grown and changed, I am sure. So
no doubt.
And we had a little bit of change in gold, the metals today, with the markets being closed. You know, things were all over the page today, so we did see some pressure on gold today, down 14 at 1937. Silver was down 3.25%, $23.25. Platinum was down 13, 971, and palladium was down 23 at 1,419. The USDX today, and it was only up 0.06, so not a big deal, 102.54. Crude oil was down 84 cents at 70.94. The paper markets today, the stocks closed down 245 points on the Dow. The S&P was down 20, and the NASDAQ down 22. So it was the NASDAQ, and even the Dow, it wasn't even down 1%. So it seems like a lot, but it really isn't. You know, just it is what it is. European markets, you know, same thing. They were all in negative territory, but nothing drastic. Nikkei was higher. The rest of the Asian markets that we follow, the Hang Seng and the Shanghai, they were, again, just down a little bit. Hang Seng was down 1.5%. Let's see what the 10-year... Oh, come on. Let's see. 10-year yield, 3.72%. 3.72%. And natural gas was down 5% at 2.495. 2.495. So, you know, it coming off a holiday, a 3-day weekend anyway. There's a lot going on, Butch.
Oh yes.
You know, you had the a lot of it is China. And, you know, I know the one you're going to talk about, U.S. housing starts surged most since 2016, exceeds all estimates, really. But then again, hey, they changed the law that makes it cheaper for lower income, or not lower income, but lower credit scores.
Yep.
To get mortgages. Doesn't cost them as much. So could that have been the jump, Butch?
I think it definitely could have something to do with it, but I still have a hard time believing that wouldn't fly. But I know people are not paying attention to it. Obviously, it doesn't seem like it bothers them too much anyway. But that is so wrong. But that's what it is. But yeah, the article does say jump. We'll cover it in a minute. I read it too, and I got thinking, how can that be? But it is, and that's I did think in that direction. But, you know, that just went into effect, what, about a month ago?
Yeah, yes.
So that was a quick jump. Quick jump.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, maybe they just kind of estimated. Well, since we changed then, that probably will increase by this amount. So let's just add it to these figures this time.
Well, they'll figure it out. They know how to jumble the numbers around a little bit.
Although the thing of it is, Butch, this is the opening season for real estate. So it really is not that big of a deal. I mean, people have been pent up all winter long, you know, and people are now getting to the point where if they've been waiting to purchase a home, it could be, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and do it and suck up the higher rates and, you know, buy a lower valued home and so forth. So, because it is the beginning of the real estate season. So,
well, I guess time will always tell on that, too. Was it a fluke? We'll find out. We'll continue. We'll see. I don't know. I just don't know.
Do you want to tell us what it was? Do you want to just finish this up so we don't have to go back to it? Yeah.
Let me find it real fast. Just give me a second to find it. It's in my news here. Yeah, I got quite a bit of it.
Did I get you out of order?
Yeah, you,
I mean, I got it here.
I got it right here. Here we go.
I got it here. Yeah. Okay.
Shocking housing starts data. Economists blown away by 11 Sigma beat after biggest monthly surge on record. Sigma beat. After 2 months of disappointing declining housing starts and permits, understandable with mortgage rates around 7%, the May data was a shocker. After a modest revision to the April data, in May, both housing starts and permits exploded higher in a move that has stumped economists and strategists. Beginning home construction soared 21.7% to 1.63 million annualized rate. The 291,000 increase in housing starts was the biggest monthly increase in actual units on record and was the biggest percentage increase since October 2016, reflecting gains in three of our four U.S. regions. Drilling down into the single-family and multifamily or rental projects, May saw 156,000, or 18.5% increase in single-family units, to 997,000, the highest since June 2022. Multifamily starts surged even more, rising 28.1%. So, yeah, I don't know what caused it for sure, but that is quite an increase. I mean, you're talking about, you know, 28% on this one and 20-some percent on the other one. That's a huge, or 18%, that's a huge increase, Melody. That truly is. I don't know what the reason was and what is causing it, but it went up a bunch.
Well, I mean, if you look at the beginning home construction, I mean, that's the one that jumped 21.7%. I mean, builders build. They have to build. It doesn't mean that they're sold. Although in today's world, they usually don't build too much unless it is sold. But then again, you don't know how many of those can, you know, fall out. I mean, a lot of these new homes and so forth, people can put a down payment on, you know, and they've got, you know, several months to find financing and stuff. And some of those do fall through. So, and then, you know, it was just, what, a week ago, we talked about the construction business where they weren't that optimistic.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
Okay.
They're expecting a huge decrease.
I guess they don't know their own industry.
they're expecting a huge decrease. I don't know. That surprised me when I read that. I was totally shocked. I really was. So, anybody else want to add to that? You go right ahead.
No, and the same thing starts of apartment buildings and multifamily projects jump more than 27%. You know, and again, builders have to build. That's what they have loans for. And you'll always see this type of thing. And, you know, when things are slowing down, you'll always be scratching your head thinking, well, why? You'll be driving down the street and you'll see all these construction projects going on. And it's like, gee, you know, how can they be building and everything when everything is supposed to be so slow and sluggish and everything like that? Someone told me, a banker told me, it's because that's what contractors do. They build. That's what the banks require them to do. They, in order to keep their loans moving along, they have to continue to build. So,
but they have to sell it before they build it, don't they? Or at least have something potential to buy it.
Well, not always. Well, it depends. The bank doesn't call in on the loans or anything. You know, they, as long as they make their payments.
Yeah, that could get tough, too, after a while, I think.
It does, and that's what happens. And that's usually what you see at the very end. Or going into a recession, or going into a big economic downturn, you see all this, all these economic numbers that really don't make any sense. And really? That's, I think, what we're experiencing now. None of these numbers make any sense whatsoever.
No, they don't. And I think anybody with any common sense knows this cannot go on forever. I don't believe they're lying to us here. I have a hard time trusting the numbers anyway. So it's just something that we have to wait and see, I guess. That's all we can do. So you want to move on to something now, or do you want to go back to that a little longer?
Let's go.
Okay, I want to share this first article. Now, folks, please pay attention, because this is going to affect all of us when this goes into effect. They're shooting for 2030. Y'all, that's a long time off, 6.5 years, if they get done on time, or maybe a little bit earlier. Who knows? But I'll tell you this, when this goes into effect, your private purchasing power will be gone. If you intend to buy anything to survive on, including gold and silver, and do it privately, you better get it done pretty soon. Now, I'm not making this up, folks. This is a big addition to what I call the beast system and total control of everything you do and anything you purchase. United Nations planning digital ID linked to bank accounts. And folks, that's everyone's bank accounts. And digital means numbered. We fought the digital driver's license in West Virginia. I didn't have a driver's license for, I think, 12 years. I want to do a digital picture. Still don't have a digital picture and driver's license. Not because I'm going to stop anything happening, But digital means it's like a fingerprint of your face. So this is all digitalized to your unique features, which is a God-given uniqueness that you share with a system that's going to put it all over the world on file. That's the number of a man, folks. That's the number of a man or mankind. It's your number, your own personal number that's on file worldwide. But anyway, the United Nations is planning to introduce a global digital ID system that's linked to individuals' bank accounts. The plan, which is similar to the system developed by World Economic Forum, is outlined in three new policy briefs from the UN titled A Global, now notice the wording, please, A Global Digital Compact, Reforms to the International Financial Architecture, and the Future of Outer Space Governance. What an odd title. The goal of the briefs is to have advanced UN Security General Antonio Guterres' vision for the future. Officially titled Our Common Agenda, Guterres' vision should be given the green light in September 2024 during the event dubbed the Summit for the Future. From the report, it says this, digital IDs linked with bank or mobile money accounts can improve the delivery of social protection coverage and serve to better reach eligible beneficiaries. Digital technologies may help to reduce leakage, errors, and cost in the region of social protection programs. Not unlike their unofficial counterparts over at the WEF, the UN also speaks about basically regulating the global digital future. The UN will regulate the global digital future. Don't you feel secure in that? The unelected organization uses phrases such as international cooperation and many stakeholders who will advance principles, objectives, and actions to describe this globalist agenda. The UN describes this goal as an open, free, secure, and human-centered digital future. The digital future, as envisioned by these groups, is going to be quite the opposite of open, free, or human-centric, however. As far as UN's vision for the future global financial system, it's supposed to be harmonized with the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. It will be governed by something called the APEX body that is yet to be set up. Within this, the UN sees visions of global digital compact, a global digital compact. Essentially, the objective is to have people, devices, and entities all tied up in a connected network that could apparently be centrally administered seemingly by unelected bureaucrats. Doesn't that sound so appealing, folks? One more time, I want to read that last sentence. Essentially, the objective is to have people, devices, and entities. What entities? Everything. Banks, the UN, who knows what else. But everything, all entities, are tied up in a connected network that can apparently be centrally administered, seemingly by unelected bureaucrats. Now, Melody, what could go wrong with that?
I mean, when you take a look at all these billionaires that the world has anymore and their ability to control things, they don't need to be in office to control anything and do anything. I mean, look what they've done to the social networks and so forth. They pull things. They choose what people read, what they think. People are they are no longer to critically think. So yeah, I mean it's bizarre.
That's biblical. That's all I can say. It's biblical. It's fulfilling exactly what the Bible says is going to happen in the last days, right to the T. It shouldn't surprise those of us who understand Scripture at all, but it should make us more aware. And folks, I tell you again, anything that you want to do privately, financially, or about anything else, but financially especially, do it now while you can. I know it says you're going to put already started affecting September 2024 in the meeting you're setting up, but give or take a year or two, folks, 6 years is not very long at all. And you better have your ducks in a row before then, or you'll never be able to survive what's coming on this country, in this world. Melody, I'm not trying to shock people. I'm just trying to tell them the truth here.
Oh, I understand.
You know, it really concerns me because I see this tightening of the people, what's left of our liberties, what's left of our freedoms have been taken away. I can't imagine living in a society where you and I cannot conduct business with cash in hand, or, you know, I just can't see that. But it's coming to that in this country real soon.
I think it is, and something else that's coming to us real soon is our break. Oh, it's already here. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. And lots of things to talk about, Butch. So let's just get started right away.
Okay. This is part one of a series I'll try to follow up with when it comes out, by Graham Summers, MBA. Very interesting little article here. Is the U.S. dollar losing its reserve currency status right before our eyes? Something major is brewing in the currency markets. Throughout much of 2021 and 2022, the U.S. dollar rallied aggressively, rising from 90 to 112. The driving force behind this move was the Fed's tightening of monetary policy. The U.S. dollar was becoming increasingly attractive relative to other currencies based on higher rates. However, something changed in October 2022. The USD began to break down, and not just a little. The greenback dropped violently from 112 to 100 in a span of a few months. Since that time, the U.S. dollar struggled to catch a bid against every major currency. I'm going to repeat that. Since that time, the U.S. dollar struggled to catch a bid against every major currency. U.S. dollar has been dropping relative to the euro, the British pound, and the Swiss franc. It is doing this despite the fact that rates are higher in the U.S. than any of the countries that issue these other currencies. Indeed, the only currency against such which the U.S. dollar has demonstrated any strength is the yen, and that's only in the last few months. It became clear that the Bank of Japan will continue to printing money, maintaining its easy monetary policies. As I mentioned earlier in this commentary, something major is brewing in the currency markets. Currencies go up and down all the time. But when you see a currency dropping like a stone against every major currency, you know something big is happening. Now, we're going to finish this next time. I'm looking forward to part two. Something big is coming, folks. I do believe that. I sincerely feel that in my bones, so to speak, economic and a lot of other ways. Something huge is coming. Got any comments on that?
No, sir.
I mean, that's just... when the dollar is can't even make, they don't even make a bid on it. That's pretty bad, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, I mean, we're seeing these things happen. And again, these are all the little signs that you usually see prior to, you know, again, the recession, depression, things turning around, things, you know, affecting the financial markets. You just need a little kink in there. And it's not a functioning system. But who knows about it? You talk to the general person out there, they don't have a clue with what's going on.
No.
Not a clue.
They know the dollar's buying less, but they really don't comprehend why.
They don't want to know why. And if you try to tell them why, they get the glazed look in their eyeballs. And hey, and especially if they're a Democrat, you know, well, I didn't hear it from Biden or any of my other Democratic TV programs. So you're just, you know, talking conspiracy theory there. Yeah.
Well, this story here is that we're seeing a shift in the makeup of American culture and infrastructure, big time shift. And it's not good. Not for cities anyway. Wall Street sours on America's downtowns. The pessimism from its investors who bet on office buildings and mass transit can be seen in market signals that are flashing red. Wall Street is betting against American downtowns. Investors are paying less for bonds linked to New York subways and buses. Downtown-focused real estate investment trusts trade at least half, at less than half the pre-pandemic levels. And repeat that. Trading at less than half their pre-pandemic levels. Bondholders are demanding extra interest to hold office building debt. Downtowns have been under a load of American cities over the years. Downtowns have been a mother load for American cities over the years, providing billions of dollars in tax revenue along with their distinctive skylines. In turn, investors who bet on downtown office towers or on trains and buses delivering workers to them, could generally trust they held a winning hand. Now, with white-collar workers spending more time in their home offices, a phenomenon that shows few signs of ending, investments linked to downtowns are trading at falling prices in volatile markets. You can see this as a slow-motion change, or as the beginning of a slow-moving train wreck, said Richard Ciccarone, President Emeritus of Merit Research Services, in this book, Credit Analysis Firm. I hope it's not a train wreck, but it could be. Investors' dimming view of downtowns isn't good for news for cities' finances, nor for their residents. It puts under strain some of the city government's traditional ways of extracting wealth, collecting property taxes on office buildings, taxes on wages earned within city limits, and fares from office workers' commutes. Residents of some cities are bracing for austerity. Many New York library branches expect to close an additional day each week under the cuts proposed as the city faces rising labor costs and budget gaps to reach $7 billion in 2027. From New York to Chicago to San Francisco, residents and visitors complain about empty downtown streets and transit shops that have become way stations for the mentally ill and homeless. Again, folks, the infrastructure, America, the cities that one time were booming and were well kept and actually nice to look at, including San Francisco, which I was in many years ago and enjoyed very much, is going away. Businesses are leaving, the people are leaving the communities, It's been turned over to homeless and mentally ill people, druggies, whatever. And we're seeing this happening to major cities all across the country. This is, a sign of a nation's economic base disappearing. And I don't see any stop to it. I truly don't. Melody, what do you want to say about that?
No, I mean, I agree with the article, and I agree with what your comments are. And, again, signs everywhere, a sign.
What was that old song, "If I Can't Make It in New York, I Can't Make It Anywhere"? Something. You remember that song?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, and all of a sudden I think it's swapping around some. Maybe. But anyway, this is interesting. 1%ers keep shopping at the dollar store. Wealthy consumers scour discount chains aisles for bargains. That Mercedes in the dollar store parking lot isn't an illusion. High earners join the rest of the country in flooding discount retailers such as Dollar General, Aldi grocery store, and Five Below as prices for food and staples rose. Now with inflation at half its peak, they aren't letting up. In-Market, which tracks retailer foot traffic, measured 4% average increase in the share of dollar store visits this year among those making more than $100,000, compared with the second half of 2022. Households with six-figure incomes are 15% more likely to say they would shop at dollar stores than they were last June, going up from 39% to 45%, according to daily surveys from the Morning Consult of about 50,000 Americans. Wealthy Americans long viewed discount stores as not for them, says Michael Lurch, who consults with high-net-worth individuals at Head of Advice and Planning at Wells Fargo. Yet paying $8 for a carton of eggs struck even many affluent people as ridiculous. Overspending on things once fashionable for some, Lurch says, these days it's not about making the most of your dollar, of your money, and not getting ripped off. No matter how much you take, consumers say there's no longer a stigma in going after a good deal. So no matter how much you make, folks, there's no longer, nobody looks down on you going after a good deal. And my mind should have done it years ago. I never was one just to waste money because something else in the store is more expensive that I could get just as good another a cheaper store. But the 1%ers are starting to look for bargains, and I think that's a fantastic move, Melody.
Yeah, I like the dollar store. It's amazing what you can find in there, and you know, it's like, why pay? You know, a lot of your kitchen utensils and so forth, you know, it's like, well, why would you pay $10 for something when you can get it for a buck and a quarter? Almost the same thing. And if it breaks the third time you use it, well, you only lost a buck and a quarter. You can go back and get, you can go back how many times?
I agree.
So I like shopping at the dollar store.
You know, this is a different topic, perhaps. It has to do with taxes, but I was talking to a business today that I've dealt with over the years quite often, who was audited, and it's just not a big business now. They ended up owing $63,000 in taxes. One of the major things they found was, and they go through all the books and update the books, people with tax exempt numbers, that they were tax exempt. But over the years, their files had, they gave them tax exemption for a year, but the files somewhere had been misplaced. And if somebody was to purchase an item that, say, had $1.50 tax on it, well, if they didn't have that file to show the IRS, they were fined 9 times the amount of that tax account, back taxes on that one account. So they ended up with the overall $63,000 they had to pay the IRS because they didn't have updated that's not that people were not tax exempt, they just hadn't updated them for a while. So they ended up paying that big a fine 9 times what the taxes would have been otherwise. Isn't that amazing?
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. It's a small business. They're not millionaires. But anyway, it's ridiculous. It's greed, and they get by with it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks, this next one I think we better pay attention to. I was alive back when we had the trouble with the Cuba, with the Russians going to put missiles on in Cuba, and our president at the time, Kennedy, said, "You're not going to do that. We'll go to war to stop it." Russia backed down then. This has been 1962 or so. I remember it. I was just a boy. I was just a young boy. But I remember this. And no one knew how close we were to going to war until years later. But I remember this. Well, guess what? That's been 50 years ago, a long way, 60 years ago. And now we're seeing something happen that is unbelievable, but it's happening. Listen to this, Melody. Beijing plans a new training facility in Cuba, raising prospects of Chinese troops on America's doorstep. Wow. We won't let Russia put missiles in, but we're going to let China build military bases in Cuba. Biden administration scrambles to forestall China's ambitions in the Caribbean. China and Cuba already jointly run 4 eavesdropping stations on the island, according to U.S. officials. So they already have eavesdropping stations to eavesdrop on Americans and businesses and everything else going in this country. And, of course, they can fly a spy balloon over, no problem. We don't mind. We'll shoot down and get to the other side of the country. Don't let it bother us. China and Cuba are negotiating to establish a new joint military training facility on the island, sparking alarm in Washington that it could lead to the stationing of Chinese troops and other security and intelligence operations just 100 miles off Florida's coast, according to current and former U.S. officials. Discussions for the facility on Cuba's northern coast are an advanced stage but not concluded, U.S. intelligence reports suggest. The Biden administration has contacted Cuban officials to try to forestall the deal, seeking to tap into what it thinks might be a Cuban concern about ceding sovereignty. Beijing's effort to establish a military training facility in Cuba hasn't been previously reported. The White House declined to comment. Wow. Melody, how things have changed in this country in my lifetime.
You know, it's interesting when that story first broke. You know, it's been, a week or so ago, the administration came out and said it was not true. Well, it is true. And, and I'll guarantee that's what Blinken's trip to China was all about. I mean, to do with, you know, helping our relation. Well, I guess to some degree it would be, but I'll guarantee you that's what his visit to Xi with Xi Jinping was all about when he went to China this week.
And I don't think that Xi Jinping actually particularly cared about what he had to say from what I can gather from reports. I don't think he was too impressed. What do you think?
I mean, they're weak. There's no other way to describe them, this administration. It's weak.
Well, we'll get this a little bit later on in the program, or we get to maybe get a Wednesday or something tomorrow. But we've seen Biden, Jr., Biden, young Biden, Hunter Biden, finally confessed to some crimes and took a plea deal. Yeah, that's another sign of weakness in a administration, obviously. It's either plea deal or go to jail. So we'll get that in a minute. So, yeah.
The only reason he did that was to get it out of the way before the election, the campaign, you know, before the election. That's the only reason he did that.
And that,
instead
now
of
they
fighting
want to start,
it.
And now they want to do Trump's trial before election.
Yeah. But you know what? I saw his interview last night on Fox News with Bret Baier. And I'm thinking, I mean, I'm not an attorney, but the things that he said, it's like I don't get it. You know, when he's talking about these documents and so forth, and agreed. Though, you know, the first time they wanted those papers, he should have turned them over to his attorney and they should have went through them and then gave them back.
I agree.
But he's telling that he had shirts and pants. These are billionaires. They don't have shirts and pants and golf shoes mixed in boxes sitting in a bathroom with documents. Are you kidding me?
And
these
I don't think
billionaires.
They've got butlers
and everybody, and you know, they don't do anything. Somebody else does it for them, and if they don't do
That's it, they're fired. That's right. He wasn't going to unpack his own boxes. I'm not that stupid. I mean, come on.
And the sad thing is, I watched a little bit of MSNBC this morning because I wanted to see how they were addressing it, and they were just disgusting because they think it's all funny and laughing. And I don't care if Trump did it or didn't do it or whatever. This was the president of the United States. You don't laugh. If this is something that's really serious, you don't laugh at the interview and the things that he said. They're just disgusting. They really are.
Yeah, they are. And they're losing respect also. People are paying less and less attention to the mass media. You know that.
And, you know, and it's like, no, I don't care who it is. A person that's accused of a crime shouldn't be laughed at. I don't care who it is. But anyway.
You know, live in a strange society. We'll get ready to go to break again. Boy, this thing's going by fast.
It is. We'll be right back. I'll be back. Will you, Butch?
I'll be back.
Okay.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Premiums are coming down. Prices are coming down. So what a great time to be buying. So add some to your portfolio. If you're a new buyer, get in here while the prices are still fairly good. So we're going to have a quick turnaround, and when the dust settles, it's going to be a while, Butch. But
oh, yeah.
What's next?
Okay, this article starts out, gee, thanks, America. U.S. sanctions make Russian economy stronger and multipolar world. The paradoxical thing is that the U.S. and European sanctions against Russia, while intended to cripple the Russian economy, have made them stronger. Wow, we knew that. Russia's economy is performing strongly, according to recent forecasts from the World Bank and International Monetary Fund. The outcome of defies earlier predictions by the United States and its European allies, which held that Western sanctions would bring Russia's economy to its knees and force it to submissively cry uncle. America doesn't have a kind of power anymore, folks. America is a laughingstock of the world. When the conflict in Ukraine escalated 16 months ago, after 8 years of NATO-sponsored aggression using the Kyiv neo-Nazi regime, various Western politicians and pundits were relishing this prospect of the Russian economy collapsing from total war, lost against its international banking and trade. Well, it didn't turn out like that. Far from it. As the World Bank noted above, the Western sanctions have simply helped Russia boost alternative markets in China and India and elsewhere around the globe. A principal earner for Russia is energy exports of oil and gas. Increased sales to Asia have maintained revenues despite the loss of European markets due to Western sanctions. The paradoxical thing is the U.S. and European sanctions against Russia, while intending to cripple the Russian economy, have actually made the latter stronger and actually hurt ours, folks, and Europeans, the European Union especially. So I guess Russia is saying, nanda, nanda, boo-boo. I mean, what can you say, Melody? I mean, we're being laughed at again. We don't have the pull and the power we once had in this world. We no longer wield the influence we once did by any means, do we?
No, not at all. I mean, we just talked yesterday how you got corporations that are still sending Russia $1 billion.
So, we want to cripple.
And again, I'm not a fan of Russia. I'm not a fan of what they're doing. I think, you know, you would think that we were past, you know, invading countries and so forth. But Russia's been at this since 2014. It's just not a new deal. But people don't care to really understand what's going on. And particularly now, what concerns me the most is making Ukraine almost basically a NATO member. So
that's one of the reasons that this war was started. Absolutely it was.
Yes,
it was. We keep pushing and pushing and pushing. After a while, things are going to get nasty. Now, this next article concerns Russia and Crimea. Now, folks, this could be serious. And we're watching step by step every day another inch forward, another foot forward towards a war, a World War III, a nuclear war is coming in my mind. Unless something stops it pretty quickly, we're going to see a nuclear World War III. And my friends, we don't want to see that. Matter of fact, if it happens, we won't see it very long. We'll be dead. Now you score if you want to. I really don't care. I'm telling you the truth. Russia warns Ukraine against striking Crimea with U.S.-British missiles. It's out of Reuters. Russian Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu said on Tuesday that Moscow had information that Ukraine was planning to strike Russian-controlled Crimea with long-range U.S. and British missiles and warned Russia would retaliate if that happened. Russia annexed Crimea from Ukraine in 2014, but considers it to be outside the scope of what it calls its special military operation, which is focused in eastern and southern Ukraine, where Ukraine is fighting to retake territory. Kyiv, which says it is battling for the survival in a war of global colonial conquest, says it wants to reclaim all of its territory, however, including the Crimea Peninsula, which hosts Russia's Black Sea naval base. Shoigu told a meeting of military officials that Moscow had information that Ukraine planned to strike Crimea with U.S.-supplied HIMARS long-range rocket systems and with British-supplied Storm Shadow cruise missiles. The use of these missiles outside the zone of our special military operation would mean that the United States and Britain would be fully dragged into the conflict and would entail immediate strikes on decision-making centers in Ukraine, said Shoigu. Would be fully dragged into the conflict. I wonder what that means, Melody. You think that means that they would declare war on us, so to speak?
What do you think?
That's what I think.
Yep.
I think that's a very dire warning.
And it sounds that way. Yep.
You know, I know we've been a haughty nation for years. I would just make a parking lot out of them. That no longer applies to America. We're no longer number one in anything. I don't think even the economy. I think it's a lie because our economy is mostly a sham. It's all consumer based. We don't have an economy. If we weren't consumers, we wouldn't have anything at all. We produce very little. We have to depend on the whole world to feed us and clothe us and houses and give us a medicine even. So we're not really an economic force in the world except to be a consumer. Again, that's in Revelation, my friend, chapter 18. When the merchants of the world will go by this land that's burning, it says, and shake their heads and wonder what's going to happen with all the wealth that country brought to the world. It's in your Bible. Read it. We're seeing this happen. America has made nations wealthy, including China, because we bought our goods from China. But we have no really any kind of economic influence in the world as far as production. We can't take care of ourselves. So what they say and do about us being number one economy in the world, it's all consumer-based and based on a deck of card type of foundation. It's not going to stand. Any comments to that?
No, I mean, it couldn't be said any clearer.
Hunter Biden pleads guilty to federal tax crimes, likely avoiding jail time. Of course, folks, they're not going to jail. Hunter Biden, the son of President Joe Biden, has agreed to plead guilty to two federal charges, two tax misdemeanors, and will enter a diversion program related to an additional gun charge, the Washington Post reports. President Biden's son, Hunter, has reached an tentative agreement with federal prosecutors to plead guilty to two minor tax crimes, admit to the facts of a gun charge under terms that would likely keep him out of jail, according to court's papers filed Tuesday. Any proposed plea deal would have to be approved by the federal judge, and it was not immediately clear what day Hunter Biden, 53, might appear in court to enter his guilty plea. The agreement caps an investigation that was opened in 2018 during the Trump administration and has generated intense interest and criticism since 2020 from Republican politicians who accused the Biden administration of a reluctance to pursue the case. The terms of a proposed deal, negotiated with Delaware U.S. Attorney David Weiss, a holdover from President Donald Trump's administration, are likely to face similar scrutiny. Now, I've got to make this comment here. The agreement caps an investigation. You mean this is it? There's going to be no more? If this is agreed to, there'll be no more investigation to the millions of dollars that they were paid from Ukraine and other places. This will be it. This done. There will be no more prosecution. No more looking into what happened. But if this caps it, I'd say Hunter Biden walked up pretty clean. What do you think?
Oh, I would say, and again, nobody goes to jail for anything. No one's held accountable. No one's in the Republicans. What do they do about it?
Really, I haven't seen do a whole lot of anything about it in my lifetime, so I don't expect to do anything.
Well,
this
they'll
time
all
either.
Be patting themselves on the back, though.
Oh yeah, we got him. He has to pay a fine, and we got him. We proved a point.
Congressman James Comer, he's the chairman of the House Oversight Committee. He did release a statement saying that Hunter Biden is getting away with a slap on the wrist. Well, why is he getting away with a slap on the wrist?
I totally agree. But on the other hand, Hunter Biden's going to walk. I mean, made millions off of raw deals. A sexual deviant. And all kinds of things you say about him, like his daddy. But, on the other hand, FBI groomed developmentally challenged 16-year-old to become a terrorist, then arrested him. Folks, this is no joke. This is a documented fact. Contrary to sensational narratives fed to the news media of terrorist financing in the U.S., the charging documents show Matteo Ventura gave an undercover FBI agent gift cards for pitifully small amounts of cash. And this is what happened. Earlier this month, the FBI announced the arrest of 18-year-old Matteo Ventura of Wakefield, Massachusetts, over allegations that he provided financial support to ISIS. According to DOJ's press release, Ventura was indicted for knowingly concealing the source of material support or resources they intended to go to a foreign terrorist organization. And according to the government's own criminal complaint, Ventura never gave a dime to any terrorist groups, while the only terrorist he actually had any contact with was an undercover FBI agent who befriended him when he was 16 years old and convinced him to produce gift cards with small amounts of cash on them. The FBI agent told Ventura not to tell anyone about their intimate online relationship, including his family, according to The Intercept. His daddy said that the boy's always been kind of mentally challenged. They set this 16-year-old boy up, Melody, for a fall so they can take credit of stopping terrorism. And on the other hand, they turned Hunter Biden loose. Isn't that a sad state of affairs?
You know what it really is? And I read, one comment was that, the only reason that they're doing this and that he's actually pleading guilty is it's just to make it look like he's cooperating with the DOG and that the DOG or the DOJ is actually doing something about it. There's no bipartisan, and that's Washington for you. That's D.C. for you.
If this doesn't disgust you.
It does.
It doesn't make you want to throw up. I don't know what's going to. I really don't. May have time for this one last article. Armed ATF IRS agents hit Montana gun store with Soviet-style intimidation raid. Heavily armed agents from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives and Internal Revenue Service raided a gun store in Great Falls, Montana last week in what was described by a local lawmaker as a Soviet-style intimidation raid. Tom Van Hoos, and I've talked to that man before, the owner of Highland Creek Outfielders, told local media outlet KRTV that 20 heavily armed agents swarmed his gun shop on Wednesday morning, confiscated 13 years of 4473 forms, and copied the firearm acquisition and disposition book. The fact that they think we make so much money as a gun business that they had to come investigate all the thousands, hundreds of thousands, and millions of dollars, whatever it was we supposedly absconded with, anybody that knows the margins in the gun business knows that's not that high. He said the reason for the raid is unclear. He believes it could be part of a nationwide trend by Biden's ATF. I can only assume that's because of the style of weapons that we have and the press that's so against them. The current administration seems to be hell-bent on getting those guns out of the hands of average citizens. Van Hoos spoke to the firearms blog, The Truth About Guns, stating that the IRS claimed he had unreported and failed to report millions of dollars of income. The shop owner denied the accusation. On Friday, Congressman Matt Rosendale sent a letter to ATF Director Stephen Diddleback and IRS Commissioner Daniel Wurzel asking for answers and calling the raid outrageous. So there you go. A man making a living selling guns and sporting goods store and raided because he made millions. And again, we know that's a lie, but it is what it is. And the FBI and the IRS saved the nation from a tax evader, and who knows, maybe someone selling weapons to terrorists. This is America today, folks. This is America today that's changed so much in my lifetime. I mean, really. And in Ireland, we are restricting freedom. We are restricting freedom for the common good. Irish Green Party calls for limiting free speech. I don't want time to get into that, Melody. But in Ireland, they're asking for limits on free speech so they protect your freedom and take care of the people. Isn't that it's kind of like in the remember the Patriot Act? It's for our own good now, you understand?
It's for our own good.
This is our world today. Our world today. And a black man saved some lives on a subway. They call me hero. He killed another man, but he's not being persecuted and prosecuted by the media because he's black. I don't mean to sound like I'm being nasty. I'm not. It's just a fact. He was a hero. And I like to shake his hand. But he's not being baited and persecuted. As the other gentleman was, as Penny was. So here we sit, folks, here we sit in a country that's been set up for a takedown internally and externally. Hang on, because here it comes. You better give Melody a call as soon as you can. Melody?
All right, appreciate it. And, yeah, I mean, it really is. It's just like if anything can be done, it's going to be done. It's like there's no resistance. There's no – and I don't mean resistance and violence in any – there's no voice. There's no reason out there. That's scary. Anyway, it's scary. We're out of time, and we will be back tomorrow. So please make sure you join us. And until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dreams.